Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, your mercies are new this day, Lord. Thank you for giving us another day, another opportunity. Father, my prayer is that we would make the most of every opportunity that you give us, that we would redeem the time, for the days are evil. And we know, Lord, the night comes when no man shall work, but while we have opportunity, let us do good to all. You've called us to partner with you, and especially to those of the household of faith. Father, today I pray that you would anoint our ears, our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, God, that you would, Lord, open our understanding that we might hear your voice today, that we may know your voice today. Father, I pray that you would transform our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, let your kingdom come and will be accomplished, Lord, today, here, now, in every heart, every life. For your name's sake we ask. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, after I titled today's message, I realized that I'd actually had used the title before in the past with a little different message in it. But you know what? It doesn't matter. And the title of the message is No Turning Back. No turning back. Jesus said, "He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." There is only one way, and that's his way. If he's Lord, that means that he's master of all. That means I no longer have my agenda. When I serve the Lord, I need to serve the Lord according to his plan, according to his will. Not just something I'd like to do for God or think might be a good idea, but what does God call me to do? What have I been equipped to do? And when I do what he is doing, and when I say what he is saying, there is effectiveness. There is impartation of his divine life. You and I are to partner with Jesus in his mission. According to our gift sets, we are to invest that which he's invested in us so that he will receive a return on what he has invested in us. Amen. Because he deserves it. We sing that song, that old Keith Green song. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown, for my reward is giving glory to you. How many beside myself are thankful for God's mercy, what he's done, how he's delivered, has brought me into new life, brought me out of darkness into his glorious life. Hallelujah. No longer a slave to sin, but now a child of God. And because I belong to him, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. So what we're called to do, he equips us to do. So you don't have to worry about how am I going to do this. Say, Lord, how are we going to do this? How am I going to partner with you in what you're doing? So God, I pray that you'd fill us with the understanding of the knowledge of the will of God in Christ that concerns us. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, I read, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away, apostasia, comes first, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition. The day he's referring to is the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. Now, you and I, as followers of Jesus, are not supposed to be part of that wrath. Amen. We're supposed to escape the wrath of God. He didn't say that you'd escape tribulation, But it has not been appointed unto us as his people to suffer his vengeance, because he's coming for a bride. Amen. And any good bridegroom, amen, is not going to subject his bride to their wrath. Can you say amen? So the Lord is coming for his people, the ones that are prepared to meet him, the bride that has prepared herself. And then he will pour out his wrath on the ungodly and those who have rejected the love of the truth. Those who have been disobedient to the gospel of Christ. So we're not called to suffer his wrath, but in the world, Jesus said in John 16:33, what, you will have tribulation. But then he goes on to say, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be stressed out. How many know that we don't have to be stressed out like people that don't have any hope? Amen. We have hope in the Lord. And the people of this world need to see stability in us. And we're going to be stable as long as we're fully trusting in the grace of God, not leaning on our own understanding, not leaning on our own abilities, but on the ability that God supplies us by his Spirit. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power, dunamis, of his might. Amen. That's where our victory is, our faith in God's power. Amen. That is effective. Amen. That to not only protect me, to keep me, but also to give me victory. Amen. In day-to-day life, and to be able to present Christ to people. And, you know, guys, we can't take a city unless we first take ourselves, right? So there's a difference between the wrath of God and the difficulties we experience in the world. That word tribulation means pressure, afflicted, anguish, burden, persecution, or trouble. So God did not, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, what? Appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that word wrath means, or gay is the word, and it means violent passion or punishment, anger or indignation or vengeance. God has not appointed us to suffer his vengeance. But we are to be prepared, though, for the day when he does come and he calls us, because we're going to be called to a wedding feast. Amen. We're going to enter into the chamber with the Lord, the bridegroom. Amen. And when the door is shut, amen, there will be no entrance from those who are outside. So while we have opportunity today, today is the day to get right with your Maker. Amen. To get right with Christ. Amen. Who is our heavenly bridegroom, because when he comes for his bride, amen, she is to be prepared. She is to be watchful. She is to be looking for that time, amen, when he shall appear, and he could come. Do you know when he's going to come? When the Father says so. And that means people want to put dates on when he's going to show up. Well, is it before the trib, during, or after? He says, when the Father says, I don't even know. When the Father says, son, go get your people. Go get your bride. Amen. How many know that Jesus is excited about going for his people? He's looking forward. He's waited a long time. Amen. To come for his bride, his people, to catch them away. To be with him. And he hasn't appointed his bride to his wrath. In verse 10, it says, who died? Jesus died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So this is really emphasizing, guys, the tremendous price that our Lord paid for us. He paid for his bride in blood. Amen. And this verse is so to comfort us, guys. He says, therefore, in verse 11, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Why can we comfort ourselves? Well, because the fact is that we have not been appointed to the wrath of God. So you see, what was happening is, even in that time, there was a lot of persecution. And people were wondering, has the day of God's wrath already begun? See, there's a difference between tribulation, the difficulties and anguish that we'll have in this world, amen, and the fierce anger of the Lord. That's not appointed to his people. So we comfort one another with the fact that God will come at the appointed time of the Father. The Lord Jesus will return for his people and he will call them into the chamber. Amen. And we will sit down at his table in that day. Those who are prepared will be with him. The door will be sealed. And those who had delayed, those who were not ready, will not be able to enter beyond the door. Today is the day to be ready, to be prepared, to repent of your sin. Amen. And get right with your Maker. Today is the day to receive, amen, the provision of God, the oil in your lamp, so that you are awake. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that oil illuminates? Amen. It brings the flame, amen, into fullness. And it keeps us alert and awake and watchful. When you're full of the Spirit of God, you're on high alert. Hello? You're not choked out by the world and the things of the world. You're high alert. You're looking for the Lord. You're looking for the Lord in every day. You're looking for Lord. How can I love you? How can I serve you? How can I be prepared for that day? So concerning the day of the Lord, what is the day of the Lord? I'm going to read some scriptures for you. You ready? Here's the first one. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12. The day of the Lord of hosts, this is the day of God's wrath, shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Isaiah 13, verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13, 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel and both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. Joel 1, verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Joel 2:11, the Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Obadiah 1:15, for the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. And that agrees with Galatians, where it says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Zephaniah 1:14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. Zephaniah 2 and verse 3, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. When we talk about seeking righteousness, we're talking about seeking him who is our righteousness. And in order to seek him, you have to humble yourself. When we're proud, we don't pray. When we're proud, we don't see the value of fellowship. When we're proud, we don't have a sense need for God's word or direction, because we think that we're okay. We can do it on our own, independent of God, you see. But those who are humble are those who submit themselves to God and realize that apart from him, they can do nothing. We can bear no fruit unto eternal life except that we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we're willing to submit ourselves to his will. A humble person is one who's willing, even though they may have a strong will and desire to do whatever they want to do, they understand that I have to take my will and submit it to the will of another. If you work for an employer, amen, if you're a good employee, you will have to humble yourself, okay, even when you don't always agree with the boss, but you're there to do a job, amen, so you simply humble yourself. Yes, you could give them a piece of your mind. Yes, you could walk off the job, amen, but there are consequences for doing so, amen, but we humble ourselves and we say, okay, we're going to go along with what you say, as long as it doesn't violate, of course, my values and my morals. Are you hearing me, somebody? Same thing with the laws of the land. As long as they don't violate the will or the word of God, we're supposed to submit to the governing authorities. Did you know that? Amen. So the day of the Lord is really not just referring to the day of his wrath, but also in history, it refers to any period when God was going to move in judgment. Sometimes it was a judgment that was pronounced upon the land that was near at hand. It was something that was going to happen shortly. In other cases, you know, it was speaking of the future. So it could refer to this 7-year period of tribulation. People want to argue about the 7-year tribulation. How about just being ready to meet Jesus? And quit arguing over stuff that you don't have all the facts. And I know people have all the charts and they got everything just lined up, and yet you get 2 or 3 theologians together and they're all disagreeing. How about allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you daily? Amen. Just get about what, find out what God is doing and do that. Join yourself, partner with Him, bear fruit. Amen. And don't get bogged down in theological debate. Keep the main thing the main thing. The gospel, amen? Making disciples, followers of Jesus. But certainly, the day of the Lord is going to come. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, New Testament. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. I've often thought about, even as you look around in this room today, we're all temporary in these bodies, aren't we? Everything that you see, this building, these, as nice as they are, these chairs, someday they're going to pass away. Amen. How many bought something brand new just a few years ago? Now it's already, it's already in the junk pile, right? Especially in our throwaway society. I've talked about this before, but I remember when we were having stereo wars back in the day, you know, who had the better stereo and the bigger speakers, right? And I can't even find a single piece of that anymore. That which I highly esteemed is now in the trash heap somewhere or in a pawn shop. But that's the world. It's temporary. It's passing away. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, right? But God's will prevail. It's going to come unexpectedly, and certainly talking about the atmospheric heavens, amen? It says that the heavens will pass away, it's plural. But also, I believe it's referring to the stellar heavens. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse 25, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. This is all going to happen eventually. So it cannot be referring to the third heaven. How many know there are 3 heavens spoken of in the scripture, right? How many know where the third heaven is? That's where God dwells. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing defiling can go there. That's why we need to be pure. Amen. Purified in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. In order to be qualified to come in to that holy place. Not by way of my own righteousness, but by His righteousness. Hallelujah. How many know that the bridegroom provides the garments, amen, for the host, for the guests. Amen, that's His responsibility. But we have to put the garment on. We have to be dressed in His righteousness. We must be clothed in Christ. We must be putting our confidence, our faith and hope in Jesus Christ alone. The elements will be dissolved. Everything, the great capitals of the nations, all civilization, all natural creation is going to be consumed. That's what's happening. Things are wrapping up. Things are accelerating. There's craziness going on everywhere. Can you say amen to that? It's pretty obvious now, isn't it? It's going to get even more obvious as time goes on. They're finding birds falling out of the sky everywhere, animals dying, elephants by the hundreds are dying. Just all over the earth, they don't know what's going on, but they're saying the animals are just dropping dead everywhere. They're shown elephants running around in circles, and they just drop. Out of a herd of 320 or something, it's like 174 elephants so far have died. I mean, this is happening around the earth. There's very strange things happening right now. And things are not going to remain the same. Why? Because the bridegroom is coming for His church. Amen? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But what that means is that we need to be looking up and relying upon His grace, amen, for the strength for us to be able to overcome. Because unfortunately, too many people are looking to science for their answers. Too many people are looking for the experts to tell them what to do. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sick and tired of experts by now. So many experts. Don't question them. They're the expert. We have an expert. Amen. It's the Word of God. It's our Father. He's the perfect one. He knows. And God's not stressed out about anything that's going on. And neither should His people. How many know that worry is illegal for us? We're not to be worried about these things. We're not to be scared. We're to be prepared. God wants His people ready. The Bible says that there's going to be apostasy. There's going to be a falling away before the great day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. And I don't know about you, but I think we're seeing that now. I think we're in that time right now that many or some even are departing from the faith. You see, the Thessalonians were not worried that the Lord had come. They knew better. They knew the Lord hadn't come. But the intense persecution they were enduring made them think they were in the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. And so Paul was comforting them because there was a letter being circulated that they had already, you know, entered into that time of God's wrath. And he's saying, no, there's going to be a great falling away. And he begins to say what's going to happen prior to this. You know, there'll be a departure from the faith. And then, you know, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the lawless one, will be revealed. Now, I don't know if he's around in the world today, the man of perdition, the son of perdition, but it's very possible. We see everything aligning, the whole global agenda, you know, to bring the world under dominion, under their dominion, under their control. It's happening, isn't it? You see how quickly we can just shift and be controlled by the narrative. We have to pray and say, God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to handle these things? How do we, you know, proceed in our lives? Do we just, like some would think, maybe just pack your bags and get up on top of a high mountain and look towards heaven and wait for Jesus to rapture us out of here? Or how about being about our Father's business while we have an opportunity? Amen. Hallelujah. So these rumors had been circulating and the people were worried that they might have been, you know, entering in now to the time of God's wrath and thinking, well, the Lord was supposed to come. Because, guys, I don't want to get into the theological part of this, except that we know that the Galilean wedding, amen, is a type of exactly how it's going to happen. The Father will speak to, amen, the bridegroom at the appointed time. The bridegroom will go and get the bride. The bride was the one who would sleep in her bridal gown because she was to be ready for the call. The bridegroom comes. Amen. And so it's very important that we understand that God is coming. Amen. The Lord is coming for His people. And He says, when you see these things begun to happen, then look up for what? Your redemption draws nigh. He's not talking about God's wrath coming. He's talking about the difficult times that we're now in that are coming. It's like a woman in travail with child. Amen. These birth pangs are coming more severe and more closer together. And we're seeing it throughout the earth. And God's saying, pay attention. Wake up. The time is close. The Father, only the Father knows the time. And He, at that time, will say, Son, now is the time. That's why He said you need to be watchful. You need to be prepared. Why? Because a lot of people are trying to figure out, well, when? How much time do I have to play? We're supposed to be prepared. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. Amen. Now, we know in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart. That word depart means to remove, to revolt, or to desert. So in the latter times, some will desert from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Do we not see that happening today? All kinds of different doctrines, all kinds of different Jesus is being presented Hallelujah. How many know that you can't know the real Jesus except that you receive His Spirit? Amen. And you receive the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, people are being offered salvation without repentance. That's a different Jesus. Amen. And if you get a spirit with that deal, you're getting the wrong spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is holy. And the Holy Spirit dwells in a clean temple. Amen. So if a person is living a defiled life, amen, the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell in an unclean temple. Can you say amen? Amen? And so we need to repent, and we need to come to Jesus, and we need to confess our sins and renounce our sinful ways and get honest with God and lay it all out on the altar and let God do the work that He can do in your life to make you ready, amen, to become a vessel for Him that He can fill you with His Holy Spirit. Amen. And once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? You will want to tell people about Jesus. Amen. You will have His desire in you. You'll love to give thanks to God. You want to give praise to God. Amen. Because the Spirit's in you. In the book of Jude, he warned the church against apostasy. He's talking to the church, guys. He said in Jude chapter 1, verse 5, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this," hear it, "that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode," those that rebelled against God, "He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of" what? "The great day." The day of God's wrath. Verse 7, "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Today, we are witnessing every type of sexual perversion." You see, if people choose to leave the Christian faith, their fate is going to be the same as that of the unbelieving Israelites in the wilderness. Their fate is going to be the same as the rebellious angels and the Sodomites. So all those who choose to depart from the faith, they do so by their own choice. And they will face the wrath of God. That's what the Word of God says, guys. We just read it. He reminded them that God, having saved them, right, out of the land, later destroyed those who did not believe. You see, there are those who believe for a while, but when difficulty comes, they fall away. Why? Because they're not rooted and grounded in Christ. There are so many today that are like the seed that has fallen. I mean, their heart soil, the condition of their lives is such that they cannot contain, amen, the life of God very long. Why? Because they're unrepentant and they're being choked out by all the cares and the riches and the temporary things of this life. Their focus is not on heavenly things, but on temporary things. Amen. And because of that, there's no life. You can't serve two masters. We have to decide who we're going to serve. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, it's not an option, right? We will serve the Lord. How many delight to serve the Lord here? How many enjoy His presence? How many love it when you're at peace with God? Isn't it wonderful? Life is good in the Lord. It is a superior life to that which the world would offer you. But the devil's a liar and he's a thief and he's a counterfeiter. And he's trying to distract you by lesser things because he wants to rob you of your eternal inheritance. By getting you to spend yourself needlessly on vanity. But God has something better for you. Has something better for us as His people. He's allowing us. He's giving us the opportunity to partner with Him in His mission. Isn't that great? Amen. Those who are serving Him say yes. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? See, the different gospel that's being presented today requires no repentance, no self-denial, and certainly no self-sacrifice. Oh, my goodness. I don't like those pews. Can't even sit in the pew because it's hard in America. People in other nations, they'll walk miles uphill both ways. They'll walk for miles in the heat of the sun or in the cold. And some of them meet under a tree in the shade. But they got a hunger and a thirst for him who is their righteousness. And they found something greater, of greater value than anything the world could offer them. They're delighting themselves in the Lord. And they're delighting in the abundance of who he is. Hallelujah. Their lives are full and overflowing in the joy of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God wants you to have joy. Did you know that? He doesn't want you just to have a half full cup. He wants you to have an overflowing cup. And he allows us to come and drink as much as we want. But if we're filling up on the lesser things, come on now, somebody. You're not going to have a hunger and a thirst for the eternal things. If you're being choked by the temporal things, you're not going to live for the eternal, for the will of God for your life. And so there's a gospel of accommodation, you know, as David Wilkerson said back in the day. That people just want to be accommodated. Make me comfortable. Tell me those sweet things I like to hear. Oh, don't talk about repentance. Self-denial, self-sacrifice on my word. Give up my time? You know, some people claim to love Jesus with all their heart, yet live in consistent violation of his teachings. 1 John 5:3 says, loving God means keeping his commandments. So if you're walking in ongoing, deliberate, willful disobedience to the Lord's teachings, according to Jesus, you do not love him. Guys, if we're not obedient to the commands of, how many know that the commandment of Jesus is to love? To love God and to love others. His commandments are not grievous. Amen? It's showing honor and respect to our fellow man. And if we're being disobedient to the command of Jesus to love, if I'm loving my neighbor, I don't cheat my neighbor. I don't gossip about my neighbor. I don't take advantage of my neighbor. Amen? If I love my neighbor, I will show them respect. I will honor them and prefer them before myself. And when you love people who you see, you're loving God who you don't see. See, a lot of religious people talk, they do go through all these rituals and these things that make them maybe feel good for a moment, and maybe it appeases their conscience. But all it is an empty religious formality with no life. God allows us to come into fellowship, into partnership, into harmony with his spirit and become a vessel, an expression of his heart in this world. That is abundant life. Hallelujah. He is our abundant life. And our life is to overflow in the power of God. Jude 1:17, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last day who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Now, I looked up that word sensual. And it means the lower or bestial nature, the natural or soulish part of a man. So these mockers walk according to their own ungodly lusts. So just because I claim to be a Christian does not mean that I am. Come on. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. A Christian is one who walks in the Spirit of the Lord. A Christian bears the fruit of Christ. But if I'm bearing bad fruit because I'm in alignment with hell, I can claim to be a Christian, but my life will be known by the fruit that I produce. Amen. So we need to live it. And Lord, when I'm doing well, don't mean to never seek a crown, amen? Because we understand the source of our help, the source of our strength is Christ alone. We give him the glory, we give him the praise. Thank God, amen, that he has the power that we need, amen? The grace available to us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And yes, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, amen? So the sensual here are mere professors. who don't have the Spirit of God in them. They live for self-gratification and not for Christ and others. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul here in Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example. Guys, I'm not a perfect man. Anybody that knows me knows that's true. But one of the goals of my life is to be an example. And I know I can't be an example unless I'm leaning on Jesus really heavy, amen, every day. And you and I are called to do the same, to be an example to one another, amen, to build up, to edify, to encourage one another. And that means that I have to be responsible for my actions. I have to take responsibility for my actions. I have to have an honest and good heart that's willing to repent and be admit it when I mess up, amen, and come to the Father. And I know I have an advocate, hallelujah, with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. He is my defense attorney. If I will come to the Father through Jesus, He will plead my case, amen, because the price has been paid in full. The blood is there on the mercy seat in the presence of the Father, hallelujah. On our behalf, Jesus died. Praise God, there's forgiveness. Amen, that my debt can be canceled. Hallelujah, that slate can be cleaned. Today is a new day, a new beginning for you. Simply repent, turn to the Lord with your whole heart, and He will have mercy on you. He will forgive you, He will cleanse you, and He will restore you. Hallelujah. He said in verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, an enemy of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. What does that mean? It means they're self-serving. They live just for themselves. And whose glory is in their shame. Are we not seeing that in the streets today? All kinds of crazy stuff going on in parades, and they're glorying in something that they should be ashamed of. And they set their mind on earthly things. But, verse 20, but you, everybody say you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Let's say that together. Praying in the Holy Spirit. How many here are praying in the Holy Spirit? How many know that you need to pray in the Holy Spirit? In order to be strengthened by the Lord, you must pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen? In order to be built up in the faith, you must pray in the Holy Spirit. To keep yourself protected from the evil one, you must pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, what is praying in the Holy Spirit? It means to pray as guided by the Spirit, in accordance with the will of God. Pray as being guided by the Spirit in your prayer according to the will of God. How many know the Holy Spirit always directs us according to the will of the Father? Amen? The will of God. Okay. Now, praying in the Spirit also means praying in a heavenly language, praying in tongues. Let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue, what? Edifies himself. Go back to what Jude said. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue, what? Edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Meaning an unknown tongue, all right? Unless there's an interpretation, right? Okay. How about 1 Corinthians 14:14? Here he breaks it down. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Do you see it? Guys, I know I talk about the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. And some people, well, I just don't see the importance of that gift. If God wants you to pray in the Holy Spirit, then He wants you, amen, to desire earnestly or eagerly the gifts, amen? How many know that we should be wanting everything that God has for us? How many know that we should operate and in as many gifts as possible because it benefits the body of Christ. Amen. And praying in the Spirit builds you up personally. And I know there are times when the pressures of life. How about anybody beside myself come under some pressure once in a while? Amen. What does it do? It can cause me to pray, cry out to God for my spirit. Amen. And begin to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Bible says you don't know how to pray like you ought to, but the Spirit will assist you. He'll help you. So pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Amen. And build yourself up. And how many know that that is toxic to the devil? Amen. When you're giving God thanks and you're giving God praise, amen, it's toxic to the devil. He doesn't like it. That's why tongues is always under attack. People minimize the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in tongues. You see, a lot of people divide over this very thing. And the enemy does not want people to understand the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, just praying in tongues is not the only way we pray in the Spirit. Amen. Again, it means that I'm praying in agreement with the Spirit according to the what? The will of God. And if we ask anything according to His will, He what? Hears us. It says right after that in Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, how many know that God is love? He is love. So when I'm filled with Him, I'm filled with love. Keep yourself in the love of God. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, you keep yourself in the love of God. Our prayer life is vital, guys. This is all about a relationship with your Creator. Amen. If you don't have a prayer life, you really don't have a relationship with God. I think in too many cases, our prayer life has just been reduced to asking God for favors instead of enjoying Him and walking with Him. Amen. And giving Him thanks and giving Him praise and doing things that would honor His name. You see, there's this thing about the cross that people want to avoid. I want everything God has for me, but I don't want to have to deny myself for anything. I don't want to have to sacrifice for anything. And how many know that prayer is a sacrifice? But it's a sacrifice that is acceptable to God, that God is pleased with those who are calling upon Him. Are you hearing me today? You want victory in your life? You want to get set free in your life? You want to keep the devil out of your head and out of your life and out of your heart? Amen. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Have a prayer life. Hallelujah. Be close to Jesus. Guys, it's a delight. It's a delight to be with the Lord, isn't it? It's a delight. And what a privilege. What an opportunity God gives us to be able to pray. To come to Him, to thank Him, to praise Him, and to make our petitions known. God knows what you have need of. Even before you ask, He knows. But God loves you, and He wants you to come to Him. And He wants to share something with you. How many know that prayer is a two-way conversation? God wants to speak to us. And I don't know about you, but I'm good at asking God for stuff. And I know I need God, amen? I need His help. And God knows that I need Him. But God also wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to you. He wants to share His secrets with you. Yeah. He's got some hidden manna. Did you know that? That He shares with those who are close. Friendship with God. God wants us in friendship. Amen. We go beyond just being a servant to being a friend. How many know a friend honors and respects another? Amen. If I'm a friend to Dave, that means I honor and respect Dave. Amen. I don't do things that grieve him or upset him. Because he's my friend. When you're a friend of God, it means you do what pleases the Lord. You honor Him by the way you live your life before others. And they say, this is a follower of Jesus. This is a true follower of Jesus here. Why? Because they're doing the things Jesus did. They live like Jesus did. They live in a holy life. They're doing the Father's will. The only way to escape the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil is through the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. The blood of Jesus, the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, And praise God, He's given us the Word. Amen. Because the Word is like the banks of the river. Amen. It keeps the river flowing in the right direction. You can be spiritual, but if you don't have the knowledge of God, you can get in trouble. Amen. And if you have the knowledge of God, but you don't have the Spirit, you can also get in trouble. You can be a legalist and you can just hurt people. Amen. Not help people. All right. Hebrews 10 and verse 37. Remember this, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, here's God speaking, my soul has no pleasure in him. And I love this verse. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The Lord is coming. The Lord is calling all men everywhere to repent. He has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world by that man whom he has ordained. And he has given us assurance of this, and that he has raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ is the righteous judge. Amen. And he's coming when the Father appoints that time and says, Son, now is the time to receive his bride, the prepared ones. Amen. And after that, guys, you don't want to know what's going to happen. Amen. Read Revelation. It'll fill you in a little bit. But it's not going to be pretty. Amen. Once Jesus comes and takes his bride out, amen, to the rebellious, things are going to get even worse than they are now. Today is the day of preparation. No turning back. I put my hand to the plow. Amen. Remember Lot's wife. She turned back. She wanted to go back to the world. God says, you come out and you stay out. Amen. You're my bride. You're not going to have any other gods, no other lovers. I have eyes for only Jesus. My life now is to be lived for him who died for me and rose again on the third day. Amen. And ever lives to make intercession for me. All I have need of, I have access to. By faith in the blood of Jesus, I can come with confidence today and all that I have need of, all the grace, all the strength. Amen. To overcome every addiction, to overcome every temptation. And not only that, but to be positive in living for Jesus and helping others comes from the Lord. So we must be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. We must be people of prayer. Amen. We must get into his presence. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. We got to go from elementary, now I lay me down to sleep, to God, have mercy. Calling on the name of the Lord. God wants his people awake. How many here have discovered that the Lord is a refuge? He's a rest for us, isn't he? When the world around us is going crazy, we can find a refuge in him. Sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes it's a struggle, isn't it? But I found something to be true, and that is, if I'll seek, if I'll press in, if I don't give up, I'll reap. I'll receive. Amen. If you say, well, my prayer life doesn't seem to make any difference, my prayers are all dry and lifeless, well, let God prime the pump by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Start crying out to him, giving thanks and giving praise to his name. Hallelujah. He inhabits the praises of his people. Start out by giving him thanks and thank you, Jesus. Would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. Just give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you are for us, that you're not against us. Thank you, God, that I can do all things through Christ. Thank you, God, that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, how do you get going? Well, start stirring up the gift of God within you. Amen. Start giving him praise. Start out with thanks. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. God, you're good to me. Reflect on the goodness of the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden you'll find you're going from that struggle of the handsaw to the what? Power saw. When the Spirit of God begins to flow, in your life, amen, and out of your belly will begin to come these rivers of living water. Stir up the gifts. Some of you prayed in tongues a long time ago. It's been a long time. Oh, I did once set an altar, but since then it's never happened. Well, God wants you to stir up the gift of God that's within you, amen, and start praying in the Holy Spirit again and build yourself up in your most holy faith. Hallelujah. And regardless of what the world says about it, amen, God wants you to pray in the Holy Spirit. So that's for me and my house. We're going to obey the Lord. We're going to do what He says. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that privilege. Hallelujah.